You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, October 14th. Still ahead, we will be talking to Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior. There's been a little bit of chatter about Superior Days, which is a big lobbying effort by folks up in far northwest Wisconsin who go all the way down to Madison and visit with not just their state legislators, but legislators from all around the state to say, hey, don't forget about us up north. And here are some of our priorities and things that we hope you can support. And there may be some that think that after 40 years, what was once a novel idea has kind of run its course. Does the mayor of Superior agree with that? We'll ask him coming up at the bottom of this hour. We'll be talking to Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV in Rhinelander. And we will be talking to James Kelly from Civic Media from the newsroom in Chippewa Falls about stories that he's following. And Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2. And as always, we invite you to join us with your questions or comments or recipes. It's National Dessert Day, so we're happy to find out what you really like. You can also ring us up at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the text feature on the Civic Media app. You can also use the voice note feature on the Civic Media app to leave us a little voice message as well. Wisconsin is waking up today with news, Parker, that the Milwaukee Brewers ran into an absolute buzzsaw in Dodgers pitcher Blake Snell, who, except for one little blip, was coming really close to pitching a perfect game and did face the minimum number of batters through eight innings, which hasn't happened since Don Larsen pitched a perfect game in the World Series for the Yankees in 1956. This guy was just that good. He put the pitches right where he wanted them, and the Brewer batters, probably the better word here, could not solve it. And like you were saying, it was, again, you don't like to see a pitcher's duel if you're looking for action in a baseball game. But if you're a bit of a purist for a second, you can appreciate what kind of a game this guy threw.
It was fun to watch. I hate that he doesn't play for us. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, he is. Now, the Brewers did put up a threat in the ninth inning, got the bases loaded, scored one run, but the Dodgers had already scored two, unfortunately, and so 2-1 was the final. So the Dodgers go up one game to love in the best of seven National League Championship Series, which resumes this evening at American Family Field. Pregame coverage for game two starts at 6:30 on several Civic Media radio stations. Freddie Peralta will take to the mound. And if the Dodgers announce their starter, I don't have it in front of me. But here's the point. His name is not Blake Snell.
Thank
you. So we're good. Fernando Valenzuela has passed away, so he's not getting up there on the mound for them. I believe Clayton Kershaw, is he like still in the, is he in the bullpen? Is he?
I don't know what he's doing right now, but he is still with them. He might be starting for all I know. I'm looking right now to see.
All right. Well, while you do that, I'll tell you that Rob says good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 45 degrees. We've got a very beautiful sunrise, he said. Yesterday, I picked up a mowing job. It was 72 in Tigerton after the sun came out yesterday afternoon. He said, today I got paperwork from the state to do so that I can get it faxed in on Wednesday. In case you're ever wondering who still uses a fax machine, I'll tell you who. The State Department of Revenue still does. There was once upon a time, we're now going back 20 some years, right before my time in the legislature. And for a short time, we had somebody come in and clean the house. We had two kids at the time. We both had busy jobs and we thought, well, let's give this a try. So for a while, we had a wonderful person who came in. And of course, us being a couple of firstborns And me thinking about maybe, you know, first off, I was already a TV anchor and I thought, well, what if I ever run for election or something? So he wanted to do this by the book. And so this was not a, you know, cash under the table kind of thing. It was, I went through all the paperwork to get a, whatever it was called that at the time, a business identification number or something, and follow all the steps that any business would to make sure that you're paying somebody, but you're also paying your share of like the payroll taxes or whatever. And that experience helped me understand how people become Republicans, how they become, you know, small government conservatives that want to, you know, blow up the whole system and put, you know, put your income tax form on a postcard. Now, I happen to know and still appreciate that life is not that simple, and that you actually need to have these kinds of rules and standards for a reason. But it's also why I'm the first person to say, you know, these rules and standards and things, they should be examined every so often so that a small business operator doesn't just throw up their hands and go, I give up. I'm just not even going to try to follow the rules, because it was the most Byzantine thing I've ever had to deal with. You can't get a live body if you need help. Now, again, I'm talking 15 plus years ago, so things might be different now.
Now you can have an AI chatbot help.
Yeah. So, right. So when Rob says he's doing paperwork from the state today for his lawn mowing, Rob, I hope it's going well. I wish you all the luck in the world, because I've been in your shoes, and it is not easy to play by the rules. It ultimately is the better thing to do, but boy, sometimes they do not make it easy to be a small business person nowadays. I would just be happy if we wouldn't have to do that if we had a more progressive taxation system, one that, you know, actually taxed people, you know, who were making seven-figure incomes, you know, a little higher percentage than the person who's got a lawn mowing business. But instead, we've got a system set up now where you to play by the rules is rather onerous, as other people kind of skate on their duties, because we have, since 2010, since 2011 or so, we've had governments in place that have very much been about taxing the middle class while giving breaks to those at the very top. And the latest example of that can be seen in Milwaukee now, where the mayor is proposing raising what's called the wheel tax. And he wants to raise that fee to $40, which would generate an additional $2.5 million in revenue. It is not a wheel tax like taxing, you know, the tires on your car. It's a vehicle fee, and it is currently on top of the state registration cost, which is $85 to get your tabs for your license plate, and then plus whatever it is that you pay at the local level. Well, as of 2025, that's now 51 different municipalities and 14 different counties. And all of those wheel taxes generate more than $60 million in revenue. And there is a very honest debate to be had about whether there should be a wheel tax. Now, this is not something that was, you know, recently created. The ability for local governments in Wisconsin to assess a wheel tax has been around since 1967, but it's really exploded since 2010. And here's why. Prior to the takeover of the current Republican Party in Wisconsin after the 2010 elections, you know, when Scott Walker came into office and others, prior to that, Democrats, Republicans alike understood the function of state government and its role to be supportive in the state's infrastructure, in the state's education, and the other things that a state can do when you have 5 million people, now what, coming up on 6 million people, when you can pool those resources, you can do so much for having some of the best roads in the nation, some of the best universities in the nation. You can try to have the best technical colleges in the nation. You can protect your natural resources. And starting in 2011 or so, you had a party that's been in control of the legislature ever since that lives and dies by one creed: austerity. You know, just a way for saying, you know, shrinking government, but they're not really shrinking government. They're all about passing the buck. They're all about kicking the can. And in this case, it's often been to the local units of government. We have talked so much about it from an education standpoint. The reason that you're seeing all these school referendums now, I mean, it's not that complicated. It's because the legislature got lazy. Lazy legislators controlled by Republicans since 2011 have decided that they don't want to pay fully what had been the state's share for public education. It's better to vilify public education and then kick the can down to the school boards and say, here, you want more money? Well, why don't you ask the local property taxpayers to hike their own taxes? And so that's what has had to happen because the legislators say, it's not our problem anymore. We don't feel like supporting everyone in the state. We'd rather just take care of our people. Similarly, for local municipal governments, it's also been a case of, you know, you guys can go to referendum if you want more money, or better yet, you've got this ability to levy a wheel tax. So you guys go ahead and you take the heat for jacking up costs for people who operate cars. Now, again, they didn't create the wheel tax, and there is a debate to be had about whether there is a role for a wheel tax if a local entity wants better roads, bigger projects, they can assess a wheel tax. Similarly, counties can levy a local county sales tax, and it can either be for a one-time project or more likely something that is, you know, running perpetually to, again, make up for a lazy legislature that wants to do everything possible to say, well, we are shrinking government at our end. When things aren't really shrinking, they're just not holding up their end of the deal and passing the buck to the local units of government, the school boards, the county boards, the city councils, and to the local taxpayers. And that's why you have instances like the Milwaukee mayor, and Cavalier Johnson is now going to take a lot of heat for proposing a higher wheel tax. But again, he's not alone. There are municipalities all over the state, ranging from, here's Boscobel that charges a wheel tax of $10. Meanwhile, you've got Janesville that charges $40, and all kinds of numbers in between on all these different municipalities and counties that do this. When the right answer would be for a state legislature that collects income taxes, which are more progressive. The wealthier you are, you pay a higher percentage than somebody who's, you know, a factory worker or a teacher or a firefighter, and then be able to divvy that out rather than saying, well, the wheel tax that somebody pays for their old beater is the same wheel tax as somebody pays for, you know, their brand new convertible. And good luck to you on that. We frankly deserve better than that. But for now, we have the system that we have, and that's why you have the mayor proposing his wheel tax. And in a little bit, we're going to talk to Superior Mayor Jim Payne about, you know, the budget situation up there. And we're also going to talk about Superior Days, the lobbying effort down in Madison, where folks from Northwest Wisconsin go on down there and talk about the ways that the state budget does or does not take care of priorities in our state. All right. Well, again, we've mentioned that the Brewers fall to the Dodgers 2-1, and game two will be coming up this evening, 6:30. Pregame coverage begins on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. Some folks are going to have a local break coming up. Others are going to stick around while we talk to Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, and we're going to talk a little hunting when we come back. And Superior Mayor Jim Payne in about 15 minutes. From America up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for being with us. And part of your mornings, I'm Patrick. Oh, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It's a Tuesday morning. It's October 14th, and so nice to have our friend Dan Hagen back from Newswatch 12, WJFW in Rhinelander. Welcome back, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Wish the Brewers would have won last night, but let's even up the series tonight.
Yeah. Last week you were out hunting. How did that go?
It did not. I mean, it's like fishing, you know, you can't expect to get something every single time, but so it was fun in that sense, but this buck is eluding me. But I just made a, I made a move yesterday. I bought some designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it, because I had this doe hanging around me for the longest time, but it just wouldn't get close. And it seemed kind of, you know, jumpy. So I think it's because of my scent. So I'm going to try that. And hopefully this buck that's been on my trail cam finally goes in front of me for a midday snack.
I always wonder about that, you know, the whole, you know, smelling and the sounds that are made. Now, I have personal history with that because my dad, God rest his soul, was not the world's most patient person. And with both fishing and hunting, apparently his firstborn son talked too much. And so was not always welcome on these trips. But I'm like, you know, people talk in their boats all the time and the fish are still there. The fish are still hungry. But, you know, deer especially, I suppose, are a bit more. People get into the scent and there's all kinds of things people try to do to have no scent or to have a scent that attracts. And I don't know. I guess I don't know that the science is conclusive, because otherwise everybody would have success every time. But you got to try what you can try, right?
Yeah. So I'm just trying new things. You know, you can go with deer estrus. So that would be like, you know, simulating a doe's pheromones. But there's also buck urine, which, you know, would make a buck angry and come over there. So that's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
But at the end, if it's an activity that you enjoy, you know, that's what you do. And I was telling Dan over the break that my two older grandsons who have lived in Idaho were back in Idaho this week, and each got a very large deer. These aren't these little tiny Wisconsin whitetails. These are big old like mule deer or something. I mean, just the antler rack on these things are enormous. And both the 11-year-old and the 19-year-old got them. And in the case of the 11-year-old, got his from 300 yards away.
Oh my gosh. What
a
shot.
A great shot. But I'm also like, did you have a howitzer? What is it that he was using for that? But you know, their dad is a hunting guide. So okay. I should not really be all that surprised. But the other thing I showed you in the picture, I'm not sure if you picked up on it right away, all kinds of snow, because they're up in the mountains of Idaho. And yeah, they are snow covered already. Yay.
You know, this is controversial, Pat, but I'm thinking snow right now. I want snow to ski. I'm sure many of the viewers.
No, there are people that are ready for winter recreation. Absolutely.
Snow before Halloween is not on the docket for me.
I still have PTSD from snow on Halloween, but that's a 1991 thing that we'll cover another time. What else has kept you busy besides the hunting here?
Well, I did a half marathon this weekend, the Three Eagle half marathon. So that was from Eagle River to Three Lakes.
Wow.
I did it in an hour 43. So I was pretty proud of that. Hoping to get 2 hours. But I do want to mention the story of the week.
Okay.
And that is a 10-year-old from Phillips, Wisconsin. His name is Colton Goal, and he won the national mullets competition in the kids division.
Yes.
So he has a beautiful flowing mullet. He's been working on it for years, and it came down to like, I think 30 people. He raised more than $3,500 for the Wounded Warriors program, and he got enough votes. So he's taken home $10,000.
Wow.
So congratulations. Also known as the Coltonator.
The Coltonator.
Because if you have a mullet, you need a good nickname. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. That's awesome. I mean, have you ever had one, Dan?
I have not had a mullet. You know, I wasn't alive in the 80s. So Pat, maybe you can attest to that.
I can. I had what's called the big 80s hair, you know, where just the volume was insane. It's the exact same hairstyle, but there's just so much more of it. You know, you got it cut like once every couple months or so. And even then it just grew like a weed. But no, not necessarily a mullet per se. And I'm not sure how prevalent you find mullets these days, you know, except for like contests. You know,
how
many people aren't
person.
Wearing them unironically, put it that way.
Yeah, I know one person with a mullet. And he bowls. He's in my bowling league.
That's awesome.
What do I always say? There wouldn't be stereotypes if some people didn't insist on living up to them. That's exactly where we find ourselves these days. So, that's good. So there it is right at the top at WJFW.com is Phillips boy recounts his exciting national mullet competition victory. And that boys and girls, that is a fine looking mullet right there. Good for him.
Didn't the Brewers have a mullet thing like 2 or 3 years ago? Wasn't there like a summer of the mullet on the Brewers?
Oh, probably. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Let's see what else we got going on here. You had the Cronenwetter Fire Department had an open house day for the community. You had the Neighbors Place holding their annual Empty Bowls fundraiser. Nicolet College hosts their Indigenous Peoples Day celebration.
So Mayor Doug Dinney in Wausau, you remember the ballot box escapade?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Yep.
Yep. So he's finally going in front of the ethics board of the city for that when he removed that unilaterally.
Yeah. I believe, has he met with the ethics board? I think, did that just happen?
Yeah. So on Friday, he went in front of the ethics board. The hearing took the entire day. Multiple people testified, including the mayor. And so they are going to make a determination soon on whether he violated the ethics code of conduct.
All right. So there we go. So we'll follow that up with you. And of course, with our friend Chad Holmes at 98.9 WXCO as well. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow in our 8 o'clock hour. But again, for all the details of what else is happening in the North Woods, you can tune into Newswatch 12 WJFW, where you will find Dan Hagen at WJFW.com. Fresh off his half marathon, which only is going to empower him for more pickleball. Still ahead as
That's
well.
That's right. And I'm going to be showing you a buck picture next Tuesday. You can count on it.
Excellent. There All right. Go. Good luck. Thank you, Dan. Have a great Thank day. You. All right. Superior Mayor Jim Payne on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. In today's newsletter from Up North News, you can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Cabin getaways in the fall. That's a topic that's been studied by National Travel Group. They rank some of the best fall cabin getaways in the country. Several sites in Wisconsin are on that list. You can read all about it in the newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. You can also sign up for our Sunday morning politics newsletter, including our question of the week. A whole lot of responses in already, talking about test drilling in the North Woods for precious metals. And the question is, do you support mining in Wisconsin's North Woods? Either yes, unconditionally, yes, but only if it's strictly regulated, no, not at all. And again, the first people to get that on Sunday mornings are the people who subscribe to our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Time to go way up north with Superior Mayor Jim Payne. Talk about some of the issues that you're hearing about in the northwestern corner of the state. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Pat?
Very good. And you are joining us actually from Madison this morning because, again, the work of mayors and local government officials everywhere occasionally involves those treks to Madison to remind people, hey, we're up here too. Don't forget about us.
I try to get as many in before it snows as I can when it's only a 5-hour drive.
Yeah, only at that point. I recall, some of the legislators that I served with. I know one who regularly flew, but others who would make that long drive. And you hear a lot of books on tape.
Or that's true. Yeah.
Or if you've got the hands-free device, you can make a lot of calls. But those are some long trips, absolutely. And we're gonna, in fact, let's start with the Superior Days, which is kind of an annual lobbying trek from the Superior area down to the state capitol. And it's been going on for, I believe, 41 years now. And so I remember when it first happened, and it was very new and novel. And you now have groups from other parts of the state. There's the Chippewa Valley Rally and others who come have you know, have all kinds of local civic and business leaders come to the state capitol and let legislators from throughout the state know more about that area. Is it something that is still, A, is it still happening with regularity? And B, do you continue to see value in it?
Yes, it still happens every single year in the springtime. Most of the time as early as February, but we've experimented with some other times. This coming spring will be our 41st year. And because we did manage a very abbreviated version during the pandemic year of 2021, we've had consistency. And so even when it was very challenging to get down here, we still made some sort of a presence.
And does it make a difference? I mean, you have an area up there that is strongly Democratic, ranging from Superior, Ashland, Bayfield, Bad River, some of that area, and then a whole lot of rural area south of there that is predominantly Republican. And Superior Days is advertised as this bipartisan way to come together and talk about the area's priorities. Do you feel like it's still serving value that way?
Absolutely. I think you described it well. You know, if you just look at election results, these northern counties are very blue. But, you know, even when we're turning in 70% for Democratic candidates, that's 30% of the population that's still voting for Republicans. And when we bring a group of about 100 people to Superior Days, up to 50% of those people or more might actually be Republicans or right of center, you know. And so coming together to agree on issues that matter to all of us seems very challenging, but we manage it every single year. And more than just what we're bringing to the Capitol and educating people down here, a lot of us are the ones being educated, because even among two or three legislative issues, many of the delegates will really only be joining for one that matters to them, but they're learning about the others. So it's folks from the business community learning about the crisis in education funding, or students in the high school learning how local government revenue works and why that matters to them. And it may only be 1 to 3 days down here, but those are issues that they're now fluent on throughout the political conversations the entire session.
We are talking with Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior, and talking a bit about Superior Days. And part of the reason I wanted to bring it up is that a former Republican state representative from that area, Angie Sapik, made some comments to Wisconsin Public Radio while promoting a book, which seems rather odd after one term in the assembly, but all about politics. And the person asking the questions made note that she had been absent for the 2 years of Superior Days while she was in office. Now, she did say that it has been a positive thing for everybody. She did talk about, you know, family commitments and things like that. But what really stuck out to me was her line that said, "I think they are going to cancel Superior Days in the future because it's just not as effective as it was in the very beginning." Do you agree or disagree with that sentiment?
Well, it's certainly been more effective than she ever was in the legislature. She never accomplished anything. And Superior Days has a very lengthy list of accomplishments. Generally, every single year, we're checking off some accomplishments. Maybe we don't get all the bills we want passed out of the legislature, but we meet with agencies as well throughout the governor's administration. That's multiple governors of both parties. But really, she wouldn't know the effectiveness of Superior Days. She has never been. She's never been to a single meeting about it up north or down in Madison, where we're having the conversations, not just with legislators, but with each other about what matters to us and how we can make a better community. So we're explaining to Madison how they can help us, but we're also meeting amongst ourselves. This is leaders and citizens from across the north, but especially Superior and Douglas County, talking about how we can improve our own communities. We gather in one space and do the work of politics together, which is the only way it's ever gotten done. So it was pretty offensive to hear somebody that thought of herself as one of our representatives that refused to represent us, that refused to even have conversations about what actually mattered to the people she was supposed to be representing.
Yeah, I also took issue with another line from the interview where she talked about the gerrymandering of the lines back and forth. The lines weren't gerrymandered back and forth. They were gerrymandered once to remove all Democratic representation from a heavily Democratic area. And then with the fair maps, once again, you had Democratic representation from the area. So I just felt a need to correct on the record. Gerrymandering while both parties have done it over history, in this particular case, it was done one way and finally undone to make things, shall we say, a bit more representative for Northwest Wisconsin.
I mean, at least fair, you know, the way the 73rd Assembly District, that's what we're talking about, was drawn. It was the textbook actual definition of gerrymandering. It looked like a salamander and it looked like a giant monster, and it had the effect it was intended to have. When Angie Sapik was elected, you saw this very strange thing happen in the actual turnout. The closer you got to her actual home where she lived, the worse she performed. She had to pick up votes from as far away as possible from people that didn't actually know her and only voted on a purely partisan basis. She could have never won an election when there was an actual opponent and people actually knew the candidates.
We're talking to Superior Mayor Jim Payne. We were speaking earlier about wheel taxes in the state and how some municipalities have felt the need to either adopt one or increase one, and all of the other funding challenges that come with local units of government. We're getting to that time of year. Where are things for the city of Superior and the budget that you're hoping to have adopted for the next year, and how that might have been impacted by things like the new state budget that recently passed?
I just released my budget this last week, and it does propose a minor levy decrease. It's actually not that minor. It comes up to 1.55%, which won't make a huge difference for people, but it won't be raising their city tax bills. Now, they still have a pretty significant tax levy and likely an increasing one from the school district, because this last budget continued to fail to fix the school funding formula. And so the state is not adequately funding our schools, which means that taxpayers are. Now, as a mayor, I don't have a lot of control over that except through vehicles like Superior Days, but I didn't want us to be part of the problem. So our levy will go down even while we're continuing to make increased investments in public safety and infrastructure.
And you're also working on, and we've spoken before about Connect Superior, and again, setting up a unique project that includes public investment in infrastructure for telecommunications so that private industries can come in and better serve the residents of Superior. We spoke last time about the ongoing construction and expansion of that network. Let's talk for a minute about, you know, who's actually going to be using the network, the, you know, the prospect for competition, because if I saw correctly, you've got a new company that is looking to provide services on that network.
Yeah, that's right. There's actually been significant expansion since the last time we talked about it. First, we entered an entire new neighborhood. Superior's, a large part of Superior's North End is now lit up and can be connected to Connect Superior. But yeah, Norvado is joining the network. We just signed the agreement last week, and it's a well-established internet service provider, but they also provide things like phone and cable TV service. So for those folks that wanted to get off of Charter but were relying on these other services beyond just connecting to the internet, they now have another option. So we're not just adding more people to the market, it's expanding the market itself. You can now purchase more services from Connect Superior. So we expect it to continue to grow pretty rapidly.
And in case I glossed it over too much, if people didn't hear our last conversation and they wonder, you know, why are we talking about Superior? Because this is something you might want to adopt in your own hometown. Can you briefly give the overview of what Connect Superior is and how it's different from anything else that has been tried in Wisconsin so far?
Yeah, the legislature several years ago made it very, very difficult, next to impossible, for municipalities to create their own internet networks because they wanted to protect private monopolies. We got around that by only building the network. We don't sell the internet to anybody. We just own the wires themselves, that fiber that connects to your house. Then that creates an actual, like a super highway that internet service providers can all operate on. And so as a customer, I can go online, I can choose from any of the now three providers and any of the packages that they offer with a single click of a button. I don't give a credit card. I don't put a ton of information down. And I am just connected almost immediately. And I can change just as easily. So it's the private sector competing on public infrastructure, which is, I think, the best relationship between it gives you the competition and the innovation that the private sector can provide with the public security of public infrastructure.
Right, and the you know, the more reliable service that can come when it's the public that owns the infrastructure itself. And that takes us finally briefly to the water utility. We've talked before about Superior has the only privately owned water utility in the state. You recently started the process of having a consultant study whether city taxpayers should once again own their own water utility. Is that process underway now?
It is. Yeah, we've had the first meeting on it, and it's developing very quickly. I think a lot of people were alarmed to see the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission has authorized the sale of our water, our utility, to a private international corporation, BlackRock. So we are still the only place on Lake Superior where that water is sold at profit, which is historically treated as something you do not do with Great Lakes water. Well, that's happening in Superior, Wisconsin. We're the only people in Wisconsin that don't own our own water. Now, we're also exploring the electric and gas utilities as well. So we're underway.
So consultant looking into that, and we'll get updates from Superior Mayor Jim Payne. Mayor, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And safe travels back up from Madison as well. We'll keep things rolling here in our 8 o'clock hour with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What a range in temperatures we have this morning. It ranges from 30 degrees up there in Superior to near 60 degrees in the southeastern corner of the state. We've got 46 in Oshkosh, 48 right now in La Crosse, 46 in Amory, 48 degrees in the Chippewa Valley, including Chippewa Falls, where we find James Kelly from Civic Media covering stories for the Civic Media Newsroom from downtown Chippewa Falls. James, how are you?
I'm good. A little sad that we're to the days where I'm coming into the office in almost pitch black darkness.
I know. It was so much nicer the other 4 or 5 months when we had some daylight on either side of the workday. But, you know, it's the deal we make. We don't have to put up with some of the I'm trying to think of all the things down south, like cockroaches as big as your shoe and other wildlife that can't make it up here. It's those hardy Midwestern winters that keep us from that.
Yeah, we're getting rid of the mosquitoes.
Trying so hard to look at the bright side of this, of having snow in the not too distant future and the darkness that comes with it. Anyway, James has his Brewers cap on rather than, you know, the team of his hometown previously, because they ain't playing baseball anymore.
No, so they're not.
Welcome back on the bandwagon. And unlike a lot of us, James has watched enough baseball. And I promise we'll get to news. This isn't another sports segment.
But listen, if you want to talk about baseball all day, I'm here.
I was going to say, James says he's actually watched and paid a lot of attention to Blake Snell, the Dodgers pitcher, and was not surprised to see just how very good he was.
Yeah, that's true. He has unbelievable stuff. You forget he won a couple Cy Youngs.
Cy Young. Something I did not really know till last night. Did not really pay attention to that. And I like the way you said it over the break. You could watch baseball for another 10,000 years and not see a double play like that one last night. That was, I mean, was everybody that look, that photo of Sal Frelick looking just, what the heck just
so
happened?
So confused. I can't believe the umpire called that like off the wall correctly. Like yeah, that's an unbelievable call in that situation.
Yes, it was wild as we all tried to make sense of it. And it was super cool that way. So anyway, James is here to cover some of the other news for us. And that includes a new transfer agreement between UW Eau Claire and Chippewa Valley Technical College. And this is something that's been a statewide Wisconsin issue for decades, literally, is, you know, that rather than being possessive, you know, very protective of your turf, is that you look for ways to actually cooperate when students want to go between these institutions.
Yeah, so Chippewa Valley Technical College is a great way for students, especially students who maybe don't want to pay the big tuition money to UW system in those first 2 years, to kind of make that transfer between here, I'll get my associate's degree. It's a little more affordable. It's closer to home. We can save money there. And then if you want to continue to go on to get your bachelor's in business through this new agreement, you can do that. And you can guarantee all 60 credits from that associate degree are going to transfer over. One of those kind of minor annoying issues with transferring schools is that sometimes you find out like, okay, well, my language requirement didn't really transfer over, and my math requirement didn't really transfer over. So you find yourself in a new college saying, well, I now have to go take all these gen eds again, and now I'm spending extra money on these credits that are not in my major. And, you know, this is just a good overall deal. And there's also going to be a handful of $2,000 scholarships available for students transferring.
This is this literally spans generations now of, you know, is this redundant that you can take these classes literally in Eau Claire across the street from each other, the technical college and the UW campus? Or should you just be taking the one classes at one and the trades and things like that in the other? And obviously there's a lot more to a well-rounded education. And so it's nice to see this development of a better transfer agreement for business students between UW Eau Claire and Chippewa Valley Technical College. Let's head west over to St. Croix County now, where the Economic Development Corporation has an annual event going on.
Yeah, they've opened up their nominations for their Business of the Year Awards for 2025. There's five categories. It's small, large, the nonprofit, the County Impact Award, and the Emerging Business of the Year. So this is a great opportunity for local residents to get their favorite businesses up for this award. There's going to be a banquet in February. Businesses can also nominate themselves if they feel so inclined to pat their own back. And the nominations are going to be open until December 2nd.
Okay. And then finally, let's talk about a nonprofit that has worked with adaptive recreational sports and the ways that they're getting that done.
Yeah, so this Northland Adaptive Recreation Group, they have one major fundraiser every year. It's called the Shoot for Fun event, and they had their third largest fundraising efforts in their 27 years of doing that this year. They raised $107,000, which is huge because their big thing is kind of setting up athletes with disabilities, residents with disabilities, with the equipment they need to participate in sports like cycling or archery, rowing, whatever. That equipment is pretty expensive. It can run from $10,000 to $30,000. So having this big fundraiser where you bring in over $100,000 is going to help a lot of people. They serve over 350 residents across the Northland.
Wow, that is extremely impressive. So this is all these are things that James Kelly is following through our Chippewa Valley newsroom. You can get the updates at 93.5 The Tap. That's also on the the Civic Media app, where you can also see current headlines, weather, upcoming local sports. You can go right to the station's website, thetap.fm, to learn more about that, because I feel like we've only scratched the surface of what's on your workday today, James.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few things. You know, I try to avoid the things that I know you're going to cover. It's a teamwork effort, Pat.
Teamwork makes the dream work, exactly. Thank you, James. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, have a great day. And I wanted to take note of a comment that was on the text line here. It was from Dave in New Berlin, who noted that Civic Media has changed formats with its station in the Milwaukee area to an all news format, which we're quite supportive of, because again, you know, local radio is the best kind of radio that there is. We are thrilled to have a statewide show, and the fact that it's not only statewide on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, but if you live in one of those areas and want to catch the show, but you can't get it over radio, you can still get us through the Civic Media app or Facebook or YouTube. And Dave from New Berlin writes in that he just found us on YouTube. So we appreciate that very much, Dave. Thank you for now watching as well as listening. Cam Stevenson standing by, coming up next from Washington, D.C. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.